and welcome to Inside the Disney Vault. This is the podcast where we went through all the Disney animated films, we went through Pixar, and now, baby, we are going through the DCOMs. I am Claire.
I am Oscar, baby.
And I am Rachel, baby.
Well, my babies, what do y'all see inside the vault today? In this fine, fine area.
You know, it's not so much what I see, but it's what I hear. And what I hear is a middle school coach teacher gulping really loudly after swallowing food at a diner. That's what I'm hearing. Oh.
That is something that is here in the vault. I definitely, I hear it.
Yeah. Oh,
I hear it. If we look closely, we might see it too.
Well, speaking of gulping, I see a slug.
Ooh, I see a throne that doesn't look very comfortable, but is quite alluring for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, obviously, we are talking about the Even Stevens movie. What a catchy title. So,
straight to the point, very direct.
Yeah. What is this movie about? The Even Stevens movie. Mm-hmm. Had you both individually seen the Even Stevens movie?
Yes.
No.
Cool. Exactly.
Now, have you all seen the Even Stevens TV show?
Yes. I had seen the TV show and I'd also seen the movie. But I take it, Oscar, you had seen neither, and Rachel
I have seen
both.
Yeah, neither before. Yeah.
True to form.
I'm going in very much like with the energy that I came in with the Jet Jackson movie.
Yes.
I'm familiar with both, so.
Yes. I feel like this one, though, did a better job at setting up the show. But also, the premise of the show is a lot easier to grasp.
Exactly, yeah. The premise is a lot simpler.
Yeah. Right. It's just a family and the brother and sister are always at odds. So I guess like
interesting that they would name the show Even Stevens when they're always at odds, though. Shouldn't it be called Odds Todd?
Odd Steve Odds Todd.
No, because
then they would have to be named Todd.
Yeah.
Well, that's easy. You could change the father's name to Todd Todds.
Todd Stevens. And then sometimes they could be Odd Todds, and sometimes they could be Even Stevens.
Ooh, that's good. Options. I like
there
that.
You go. I know. Then we could have had the show go on for so many more seasons.
Truly. You know, if there's anything, the reason why the show was canceled is because of the title.
Yeah. It could last a few years. So anyway, let's get into some smart housekeeping about Even Stevens, comma, the movie. Nope, I did that wrong. Even Stevens movie. So premiered on June 13th, 2003. Apparently, it was the most watched cable program on June 13th, 2003.
Wow.
Including dominating among kids 6 to 11 and tweens 9 to 14, drawing 5.1 million viewers.
That's a lot of people.
So unsurprisingly, it's based on the TV show Even Stevens by Matt Dearborn, written by Dennis Rinsler and Mark Warren, directed by Sean McNamara, theme music composer Mark Mothersbaugh, our friend.
He's back at it again.
You know, if it's not our good friend Phil, it's our good friend Mark. So
that's right, Mr. Can of Worms himself.
Yeah, I'm so happy.
Yeah, he was in Devo.
Devo, yeah, and the Halloween Town.
Man. Halloween Town, that's right, yeah. But for me, to me, it's more of a milestone for Can of Worms than it is Halloween Town.
Right, of course. I mean,
it is the better of the two.
For you, the icon is, yes, Can of
the
Worms.
The icon is Can of Worms, yeah.
Yeah, of
that's
course.
That's my reference why Rachel of is looking course. At it.
I mean, who doesn't love Can of Worms? Most people who have seen it. But in this part of the vault, we like a good Can of Worms. So anyway, let's see. Our cast here, we've got Shia LaBeouf as Louis Stevens.
LaBeouf.
Shia the Beef. Christy Carlson Romano as Ren Stevens. Donna Peskow as Eileen Stevens. Tom Virtue as Steve Stevens. Nick Spano as Donnie Stevens, Stephen Anthony Lawrence as Bernard Beans, Aaron Guerin, Tim Meadows as Miles McDermott, AJ Troth as Alan Twitty, Margot Harshman as Tawny Dean, Fred Myers as Tom Grabowski, and Dave Coulier as Lancel Bow. Of course, there are some more characters because just like the Jet Jackson movie, it's a TV show, so they kind of wanted to have little sprinklings of everybody from the show. We get the,
what's his face? From Boogie Person, right?
Mm-hmm, Larry.
Boogie Person.
Yes, Larry, who's kind of like Ren's nemesis in the show.
Yeah.
So
glad to see him in another DCOM, so that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we got the guy from You Wish in the show.
AJ Trout.
Twitty. So this movie did serve as the series finale for Even Stevens.
Wow. So this was the grand finale, huh?
Yeah. Because at the time, Disney still had that rule where you could only have a certain number of episodes of the TV show, and then it ends with the movie.
I didn't know that. Expound on that. I have no idea.
I can't remember what the number is, but they had a rule that a show could only last for a certain number of episodes. So why a lot of shows were cut early.
They're usually 3 years or so, somewhere around there.
Out of here. I wonder why that is. Is it because they're like the kid actors are all going to be grown up at that time?
That makes sense, actually, because after this movie, we watched this movie. The pilot episode of this show started to play, and Shia LaBeouf looks so much younger, and it must have only been a couple years before.
Mm. Yeah.
So
I think it's I don't know why that rule exists, because there were some shows that were cut way too early, and it was upsetting.
Ooh, give me an example.
Well, I think Lizzie McGuire ended early, right? Because of that.
But it did end in a fantastic movie.
Yeah, we got a good movie from it. But and
they're doing a remake now.
Yeah, I think cartoons also suffered that fate, too.
Dang.
Obviously, they changed it, because then now other shows have gone on for a while.
I do prefer when shows go early rather than too late, though.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to generate original content. We're always trying to get some more original content here. So, I don't know. I don't know, but it's weird. And I do feel like watching Disney Channel a lot growing up, they would always cycle in new shows constantly. Like there would always be something new coming every year or so. But
this is a bit of an unfair question that I'm going to ask anyway.
Okay.
But if you had to pick the most, I would say quintessential DCOM show to watch, what would it be?
Original or Disney Channel show?
Yeah.
From the early 2000s?
Mm-hmm. You got your Disney Even Channel? Stevens, your Hilary Duffs, your That's So Raven, Proud Family. Out of all of those, which do you think is this is the one?
I think probably it's Lizzie McGuire. Jersey. Oh, no. I think the one that I was most excited to see when Disney Plus came was Lizzie McGuire. But then also So Weird, but that was a personal
choice. Do think it depends on your age, too, because I loved Lizzie McGuire, but I don't know. Well, no, I loved it a lot. Lizzie McGuire, it's very, yes... No, I'm sorry.
Cause then also
I'm having a very hard time with this question.
Yeah, because I feel like younger, Gen Zers might say, I don't know, Phineas and Ferb or something.
Oh, yeah, that was past my time. But So Weird is another really good one, but that one doesn't get the attention.
Hannah Montana, too, is a really big one.
That was past. Yeah, it was too, I was a little too old for it.
The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would.
I know.
Yeah, The Sweet Life is great, but I would say Hannah Montana is more a quintessential Disney Channel than Sweet Life. But it also depends on the demo.
I was too old to be watching them, but I definitely saw my fair share of Hannah Montana.
Yeah, and That's So Raven is also a big one.
Oh, yes. What about... Oh, another one flashed and then I forgot. I don't know. But yes, I would watch pairings of them. I remember Famous Jet Jackson and Lizzie McGuire, Even Stevens. I would watch the whole lineup around that time. So I think it's very age specific.
And don't forget The Jersey.
Would also watch The Jersey. I remember they had some good Halloween episodes.
In a heartbeat.
Was the Animorphs show a Disney show or was that
No, that
else?
Was, I think that was Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon.
I think. I must be confusing it because what's his face from In a Heartbeat was
Sean.
Sean. You mean Iceman?
Yeah.
You mean Captain Cadet Kelly's?
Yeah.
Yes.
And see, that's a full circle moment right there.
Yeah, we made it.
Disney Channel. Now I want to look up the lineup. But anyway, we got to jump into this movie.
Let's do it.
So, but we, of course, in true Disney fashion, we just jump right on in. But there's this little kind of like a precursor thing happening where this guy's like hacking into a computer on the internet. And we don't really know what's going on. But then we cut to Ren's junior high graduation. There's like an unbelievably humongous crowd here for a middle school graduation. Also, huge. Ren seems so old. I looked it up. I think she was 19 when they filmed this.
Yeah, she looked 19. She didn't look like she should be 13.
Right. And so there's just like a whole thing. This is like setting you up with like how Lewis is like a schemer and a troublemaker, because he does this whole bit with like a radio controlled beach ball. And then Beans, who's his little sidekick, filled it with spaghetti. And they just make a huge mess on Ren at her graduation. And they cause a scene.
A funny joke that they were like, he misheard confetti and put spaghetti inside.
Fun. Yes.
I mean, Beans. Oh, my God. Beans.
Beans was like a later season ad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was like
one of those, huh?
Maybe that really is something about they want to keep the kids young. Because I think like, yeah, they brought him in and he was a little bit younger. And they brought him in like the last season or two.
He was like a Leonardo DiCaprio ad to Growing Pains.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or yes. Steve Urkel to Family Matters.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Urkel was a later ad?
Oh, yeah.
What? I don't remember.
Yeah. He was.
That's so crazy.
But my question is, what's the story there? Because Lewis is significantly older than Beans. Are they supposed to be classmates?
No. Beans is like their annoying neighbor, I think. And
Like straight up true to the trope, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And at first, I believe they're a little more contentious. But then they become friends. Because obviously in this, they're sort of in cahoots.
I think it's always that Beans is a little bit of like that annoying brother that does things to annoy Lewis. But
yeah. I remember one specific episode where Beans is trying to tell a joke the whole episode and Lewis keeps interrupting, but I don't remember, but it pops in my head far too often where he's like setting up this joke and he's like, there was a ship and it was a rockin' and a rollin', and that's like all you get.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know if he...
Beans seems like a wild character.
Yeah.
And the actor that plays him is wild as well.
I mean, have you looked at adult Beans?
I did. Moving on.
Beans. We love Beans. And Beans loves bacon. That's his other thing.
Yeah, that's his thing. He loves bacon, which is why they had that whole thing where he brings in a suitcase full of bacon.
Okay. Now it makes sense. Okay, well, so he sort of... This was pre that weird time in American culture where people were obsessed with bacon.
Yeah, well...
Yes, well, Beans maybe started that.
Yeah, or it was like around the same time. Like they were in the zeitgeist of bacon. They knew it was trending.
Yes, everything would be bacon wrapped very shortly.
Ooh, I would kill for a bacon wrapped hot dog after like a concert right now.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten bacon in I don't know how many years, but every time I walk by one of those bacon wrapped hot dog carts,
it smells so good.
It smells so good.
Say what you will about the taste of bacon, the smell of bacon is fantastic.
And also that, and I think they're like grilling onions too. Oh, yeah. It's a whole thing. Oh, it's so good.
That's like a very LA thing that I realized when I moved here, and I was like, this is great. Everywhere should have people just waiting outside with bacon wrapped hot dogs.
Ren's parents want to hang out and celebrate her graduation, but she's like, I can't. I have to go out with Gil, her boyfriend Gil, who I guess was introduced in the last episode of the TV show, but he was not really a big character. Yeah. And so they're in a diner, and we find out that Gil is going to be a counselor at an overnight camp, so they're not going to spend all summer together as Ren had planned. And he breaks up with her in a pancake house.
Rude.
after so being very obsessed with syrup.
Yeah.
So she tries to pour the syrup on his head, but it doesn't work because it's
too thick.
I think
I remember that bit from like a commercial or something.
There are a few lines that popped out to me as well. That would make sense if that was in it. And then we cut to Lewis, and he's got his high-tech lounger chair, which is something that I feel like we've seen him do a few times in the series. Just be like have a chair of this kind where all of his accoutrements are like around.
Yeah, he can
be
extra lazy. Like he's always looking for the quick fix.
Yes.
Well, that's okay. So I want to talk on that for a hot second because it doesn't feel lazy to me to build an entire, like this is he's an inventor.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like if he really applied himself, he could accomplish great things.
Yes. But isn't
that. So it was part.
A lot of lazy people could really accomplish things if they.
You know, some lazy people are better off being lazy. Me, for example. But
I feel like lazy is not a real thing, though. It's just where you decide to put your energies.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah. But I think like he could just find a patent for all of his crazy contraptions and make a lot of money doing that. But is that his thing? Because he is lazy. That's his like whole game. But like, does he build stuff on the show? Like,
no, weird experiments. I don't think so.
I think mostly like just like getting into shenanigans to try to get out of situations.
He's more of a schemer. So like, if he'll build something in as a means to do a scheme, maybe. He's not really a builder, though. I think it's just that chair was unique. Although, Rachel, do you remember the episode where Lewis spends like a weekend in bed or something, like in a store window?
Yes.
Do you remember this? And so like, I feel like that reminded me of the chair a lot because I think he also had snacks and things.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, I don't know, seemed like fun to hang out. He was, like, being paid to hang out in bed.
He does have, like, a side chair for Tawny because I remember they had a little thing going on.
Mm-hmm. It seemed very one-sided, though. It didn't seem like Tawny was into him at all.
I think she is into him, but it's that, like, doesn't...
She's a cool girl. Yeah. She's cool, and a little too smart for his antics.
Yeah.
Okay, so they break up and... Oh, no, sorry. He was in his lounge chair, and then Ren's acting, like, super chipper and, like, she's not upset that she just broke up with her boyfriend, Gil, and her dad can't remember the name, which is a little bit we got going on. And so Ren has offered to take care of Beans and babysit him, but little does she know he's essentially moving in because his parents are on vacation.
Helsinki!
Oh, Helsinki, that's right. What does he say? It's he's like, get a map.
2 or 3 week vacation, they're not sure.
Mm-hmm. There's just so much exposition. Like it takes so long to get to what this movie is about. So Ren gets stuck in the lounge chair, but then Tim Meadows shows up, and his name is Miles.
I was like,
the
wow.
actor Tim Meadows shows up to play a part named Miles.
I did think it was cool that they got Tim Meadows.
I know, it's very impressive.
Yeah,
and he's I don't know. Yeah, he's interesting.
But yeah, so
I like seeing him in this movie.
He says he has a presentation for them, and the dad's like, "We're not interested," which is fair because this man just showed up in their backyard. But they do it anyway. So
he threatens to sue them because the chair ran him over.
The chair attacked. Yeah, he got into like a dog pile with the chair. So he says that they have won a vacation to this island named Mandolino, and none of them have heard of Mandolino. But he explains it's a private island, and all the people there are from all like walks of life and cultures. Mm-hmm. And
he doesn't just explain; he has a PowerPoint presentation that is so generic. And I mean, I thought this was funny, weirdly generic it was.
Oh, and it doesn't even have the voiceover. It's like hope. Serenity.
Yeah. The titles of just like
it reminded me of in what is that, Heavyweights, when they have the camp video or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he says that they've won this vacation and there's no catch at all, and Lewis doesn't want to go because he wants to just lounge in his chair, and
fair.
Everybody else is very into it. But Lewis, like, freaks out over the top, freaks out. But
oh, my God. That wasn't the character. That was Shia LaBeouf. overacting. That guy likes to chew the scenery.
He's a method actor, right? Is he? Yeah. He's one of these problematic method folks.
Yeah.
Even back then?
I don't know. That's what I was getting at. I was wondering, like, does he?
But he
live
does
life
strike me.
Lewis?
He does strike me as a sort of like class clown that like takes things a little too far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's
I would
also
feel like if I was on set with him, I'd be like so annoyed with him.
Yeah, but that's also what Disney Channel was, overacting. Like these kids were all like, "What? No!" Like if you watch Hannah Montana, like Miley is that.
A big old ham.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about those bright
you
colors and
Hamma.
Yelled like Hamma Month. So he freaks out, but Dad says, okay, great, we're all in agreement. So they say yes, and they fly to the island of Mandalino on this, like,
tropical
like
jungle,
one of those getaway. Like what are those boat planes, what are those called? Seaplane.
Yeah, seaplane.
Seaplane, yeah, the ones that float on water.
It's not a B-plane.
Not an A, B, or D plane, the seaplane. So they get welcome to Mandalino, and it's like we don't know where it is or what it is.
It's very Joe versus the volcano.
Oh, is it? I haven't seen that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, very like Polynesian sort of inspired, or like maybe like a Hawaiian thing. Oh, apparently it was filmed in Hawaii. So, oh, and a fun fact about that is it was filmed in Hawaii, and apparently Christy Carlson Romano, Nick Spano, and Josh Keaton, who played Mutai, were judges in a bikini competition.
Oh, fun.
In Hawaii.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So they're welcomed by all these people, and they go to like a palace where they're staying. And immediately Ren and Lewis fight over who's going to stay in the room with the view, even though it seems like all of these rooms would have a view.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of.
And then also, shouldn't the parents get the master bedroom?
Do you think that?
There are a lot of scenes that are just plain chaos here that don't need to be chaotic at all, and this is one of them. And so yeah, they go there. Yeah, of course the parents should definitely choose, or at least like tell their kids to stop acting this way.
Those are definitely the parents that you see the kids just running all over, and you're like, why won't you say something already?
I do get that vibe 100%.
Right. Yes. And then also you see like, oh, well, this is why they act this way. It's because you act that way.
Yeah.
So they go to this palace, and Mutai is this young man with muscles and possibly a mom tattoo on his arm.
Possibly. That's 100. It's a mom tattoo. It said M-O-M in like weird negative space lettering. Yeah, it was a mom tattoo. Which would have been my first clue, honestly, as being sus. Like,
Yes, and he very much like runs after Ren, and it's like a whole, okay, these two are going to have a little situation thing. And then we get to, but there's a lot of like calling the Stevens over, like, oh, we need you now because we're having this activity happen, or there's this thing. And like, it's like uncomfortable because we don't know if this is supposed to be like a real culture or if
well,
it's like.
What's uncomfortable is that Tim Meadows literally appears out of thin air to be like, you're needed here and there. He's like in 700 places at once.
This is true. Yeah. Yeah. And it only increases as we go. So yeah, he's like, the people need you. And yeah, knows exactly what's happening and why. And apparently, I guess he was their only point person for this entire trip.
Yeah.
Like he handed them tickets and set them off on a plane. I don't know. So they have this like slug eating situation.
Okay, question. Now, what do you think that actually was?
It looks sort of like a sausage, but they're kind of... they're like long and flexible. What?
Rachel's eating one right now. Rachel's eating a slug. I thought it was like a donut. I thought it was something. I didn't think it was savory. I thought it was sweet. Like a little donut. It looked like a sweet treat.
They kind of, yes. Well, and the fact that they had faces, like cartoony faces, made them look. I know.
It was like, what in the cookie puss is this?
Yeah, it didn't make them look disgusting. It made them look like.
Maybe it was mochi?
yum.
Ooh, we want them.
Because it was like kind of white and, right? And
yeah,
it looks kind of
white and blue ish.
Yeah, maybe like something filled mochi.
I want mochi.
Me too.
Mochi slug?
Mochi slug, yeah.
Ooh, yeah, I think the fact that it had a face made it look more delicious.
Disney should come up with even Steven's movie Mochi Slugs and serve them at Disney's Animal Kingdom. There we go.
It'll be so that's
great.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone would know exactly. I mean, that would be a fun little item. I wonder how many people would know what it was from.
They could just have a slug bar, like a bug bar, and they could have different bugs from different Disney movies. Like you could have the Lion King bugs. Grub.
Oh, the grubs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we have this slug thing. And then Tim Meadows, again, because he's being really manipulative, whispers in Lewis's ear, hey, you know, the main guy has a stash of American treats. And it's in the palace. So if you go look for them, like, you can eat those instead. And, of course, Lewis can't refuse this because he can't refuse the snacks and also going somewhere where he's not supposed to go. So he excuses himself and runs away to the palace, which I guess is their hotel. It's a hotel palace.
It's like an Airbnb.
Yeah. So he goes to steal the snacks. He finds a little... like a cupboard full of snacks, and then he finds a room with a throne in it, and he sits on the throne because, of course, it's very much like, you know, his plans for the summer was just sit in his little chair. So he sits there and he pulls a lever that he thinks is a footrest, but the entire building collapses.
Yeah,
naturally.
I like the name of the snacks when he was looking at them. I mean, there was like very good and corn something. That was like the most generic snacks I have ever seen.
So apparently,
which makes sense.
According to IMDb, when Lewis opens Chief Tuca's pantry, you can see real good chocolate bars in the bottom right section, which is a reference from a season one episode, Deep Chocolate.
Okay, that's for the fans.
That's for the fans.
That's for the real even Stevens heads out there.
Yeah. Not me, apparently, because I did not remember.
No, me
real
neither.
Good. But yeah, there it is very like generic snacks because they couldn't use brand names. Obviously, right. But Lewis is very excited about them. So the whole thing collapses in a way it's so over the top already.
Well, the CGI is just laughable, but that alone is like, well, what is this?
But like, we just got here and he's already destroyed a building?
Well, it's Lewis Stevens. What do you say? The notorious Lewis Stevens.
Wow.
They should have been warned, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, like, really raising the bar on his antics. So now, okay, Mandolinos all cry because they're upset that naturally, that their temple has been destroyed. And now it kind of feels like Survivor because the family has nowhere to stay and they have to just sort of rough it on the island.
Yeah, they have to make a shelter.
Yes, and Lewis and Ren have a little moment where he says that she's perfect, but she says he doesn't know what's going on in her life. Because she's so upset because she broke up with Gil, obviously. And now there's like another ritual thing that they have to go to.
Yeah, they have to pray to the spirit of Oprah.
Oh, right.
Huh?
They're but like, it's okay. A coincidence.
Yeah.
That it's named Oprah.
There's a moment where Donnie is like, you look like some guy from high school.
That's right.
And then he's like, what? No. And he's like, yeah, but you look like somewhere from high school.
There's a very Truman Show aspect to all this.
Right.
Yeah.
The one thing that I will say about Donnie is that his collars were odd to me. they just like didn't sit right on his massive shoulders. I think it's because he just has a thick neck and big shoulders, but it just collars did not look good on him. Like, it was so weird to see him in a collared shirt. It's like, yeah, it didn't look good. It just didn't look good. That's my big note for Donnie, the wardrobe person.
Yeah, it's I mostly remember him in like muscle tanks.
See, yeah, now that makes sense because he's a jock.
But look, he's not even in this photo that I have here with me.
Really? Wow.
He's forgettable.
He's a real Beans is there, but he's not.
Damn. That's rude.
Yeah, why they play Donnie like that? So rude. Wow. So, okay, this is kind of also where they start to split the family into two parts. So it's like the mom, Lewis, and Donnie, and then Beans, Ren, and the dad. And the mom's team, quote unquote, gets to eat at this this feast that they have. And the other three.
Which team would you want to be on?
The one with the mom.
Yeah, me too.
100%.
Yeah, I really like the Even Stevens mom.
Yeah, the mom is great.
I like the mom, but also I just wouldn't want to be around Beans, and I feel like Ren might be annoying, and then the dad seems a little clueless. So
right, but then Donnie's clueless too, so I guess.
Yeah, but he's at least
he's harmless.
Yeah.
Like, Beansy will mess you up.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, Beansy's farts, if there's anything I got from this movie, is that his farts are deadly.
It was really funny, too, thinking about this, because the mom is a state senator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's going through all this, like, what is she? How does she? How? Can you imagine if any of our senators were in this scenario?
I mean, oh, we haven't even gotten into it yet.
Idea. She was clueless about it.
I can imagine it, because their lives are circuses. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, you see a lot of state senators on, you know, Dancing with the Stars, so this doesn't seem that outrageous, actually.
That is true. Okay, there's, like... Mutai's like hanging out with Ren, and he like hisses a snake away. It's very strange. Oh, he gives her a shell necklace that is made up of shells that she walked on. Very creepy. So they've been shunned after this ritual thing, and Tim Meadows, of course, is the one to deliver all this news that they're unworthy of forgiveness, and no one on the island can have anything to do with them. Which is, you know, helpful to get them isolated. Mm-hmm. So Mom, Lewis, and Donnie, and then, yes, okay, so we talked about his teams. Now we find out that they are on a reality show.
Yeah.
Halfway through the movie.
Yeah, but they kind of set it up at the beginning with Lewis in his chair at home. He was watching the show Gotcha, and I thought if they showed it once, and I was like, okay, well, he just watches the show Gotcha, but then they showed it a second time, which I was like, and also Dave Coulier was in it, so I was like, this is important to remember, because they paid for, you know, Uncle.
They don't just put Dave Coulier in anything.
Right. He was in the 13th year.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Full House.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Unfamiliar.
I think they should have done a better job of cluing us in on it. And I just also think that the pre-setup at home was too long. Like, I don't know.
Yes. It was a waste of time. But what do you expect from DCOM?
Yeah, but I think they needed to really set up the family for people who haven't seen the show, I guess.
Oscar, did that help you?
I mean, you understood it better than Jet Jackson, right?
Yeah, true. But the story is so simple. It's like it's about a family.
Yeah.
It's like, great.
Got it. A family. And now they're on an island.
But what the gag is that it was. So my thing was like, they're on a hidden camera. I clocked that pretty early on in the movie. But I thought they were going to be on Gotcha, but they're not on Gotcha. They're on another show called Family Takeover. What's the name of the show?
Yeah, something
family,
like that.
Family Fake Out, I think.
Family Fake Out.
And we find out because Miles got fired from Gotcha, and he wants to get back at Dave Coulier.
By having a better show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy just to get another show.
Yeah, and also he's like single-handedly pulling all of the strings in this whole operation. He's like producer, director, writer, host. Yeah, he's doing everything.
He's like Jeff Probst does that now on Survivor. He's in charge of literally every aspect of it. But the only problem is that it's not a live show that's filmed every single day. Oh my god.
That's right.
And it's so stressful.
And it's so mean, the things that Tim Meadows is getting joy in. Like, he's setting them up to fight and
then relishes
in
it. It's petty. It's petty is what it is. It's petty.
Yeah.
Tim Meadows is being petty. All right, Miles, you're being petty.
And we see, so now we start to see a lot of like backstage or like behind the scenes shots of the like Video Village-y situation. Mm-hmm. And there's a man who's responsibility is like puppet squirrels and animals and things.
Oh yeah.
So he's got this like crazy squirrel puppet thing, and that's what happens next is they get attacked by this like monster squirrel that goes after them, and obviously they're being very manipulated in every scene. Honestly, this was just a lot of stress.
Well, they were hunting the squirrel because they were hungry and they were hunting for food. And then the squirrel turned the tables on them and started chasing them, which
stressful
honestly,
for me.
I was. Yeah, it was a stressful moment for Claire, but a confusing one for me, because I was like, this doesn't feel like a DCOM to me. Like, the flavor of this is so off. It does feel like a sitcom, where a sitcom is like super zany. But for a Disney Channel original movie, I don't know. It just felt a little. You know what it felt like? It felt like Hounded, like how Hounded was so slapsticky and sort of like actually insane.
It was just
like
so
this movie felt
very
similar to that. Yeah,
it's like over the top and chaotic in a way that I don't think the show quite got to, because they weren't on like an island where everything was being.
Also, the show, it wasn't like that. See, I thought the show was equally as zany and weird.
It is zany, but it's more grounded because they're like in a suburb, or they're like in Sacramento. They're not on like a deserted island with all these other outside forces.
Okay, because I was led to believe that the show was just as like crazy as Hounded was, but
I guess I don't think you would like flirt squirrels flying at people and like the
attack
kids.
I was waiting for the squirrel to attack someone's face, and it didn't happen.
Well, that's dangerous.
That would be too zany.
You're right. That would be too zany. You're right.
So, okay. So, yeah, Patrick Green from Donnie's school messes with Donnie now. So, like, now they know that Donnie thinks that he knows this guy who was playing an extra, and they dressed him in, like, a high school Letterman sweater kind of situation to walk by Donnie and be like, hey, man, you late for class? In a way, you know, to mess with them more.
I didn't really get this part at all. Well, I was like, now this is I don't get what the point of this show is.
Yeah, well, Donnie is dumb, so I think they really wanted to mess with his brain because he would be like, well, I'm just going crazy.
Right. They're just doing whatever they can to drive everyone to their limits, which seems like a huge lawsuit waiting for Miles.
Yeah,
but
they
signed the paperwork.
Yeah, they signed that paperwork. Fine. They didn't even look at it, which I thought was crazy because the dad keeps saying that he is a lawyer, right?
Oh, that's right.
Well, no wonder he got fired.
Yeah.
Or
That's right. Yeah.
He's very good.
Yeah. It's like, no catch. No catch at all. I'm not going to read the contract. But if you say it. Mm-hmm. Well, he said there was
no
catch.
But actually, Rachel, you bring up a really good point, because that happens in the movie. There's a big element of the dad feeling emasculated because he lost his job, and he's afraid. They want to show up the fact that, like, the mom is the one who's, like, bringing the food, the moneymaker, the breadwinner, and he feels sort of uncomfortable about that. But he doesn't really, though.
No, I think they were trying to make him feel uncomfortable about that as like a button they can push for the show, but like we learn later that they knew about it. So
yeah, because yes, and they make a big point of the food because they're like literally looking for food, and so Miles airdrops food to the mountain, but it like blows off course, and so he makes them climb up to find it. But we see that both of the teams get there and there's no food. It's just boxes. But he did that
specifically of cereal. There were so many boxes of cereal.
And he did that specifically
so they only cereal.
Yeah.
So the props department could find.
It's so weird.
And then fuzz out so you couldn't see that it was honeycombs. It was just honey. Blank. So he makes it seem like the other team took all the food so they would get angry with each other.
And it worked.
It worked. Okay, so then we also cut to people watching at home. Again, very Truman Show. They're all watching, like, from the diner, from their bedrooms, from their living rooms, whatever. And the coach... the coach tells Twitty and Tawny that they're only filming nearby on Catalona.
Mm-hmm. Because the real twist is that Twitty was the one who submitted the family to be on this show.
Daddy.
He feels bad.
And he's told them about all of their insecurities, or not their insecurities, but like what pushes their buttons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
which is like, how would he know what the dad's buttons is? He was wrong.
But. Yeah.
Right. They tried to get him with that breadwinner thing, but didn't.
Yeah. Really. Well, maybe that's just Twitty's. He sees that, mm-hmm. So he is projecting
his perception of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Twitty needs to grow up and realize that.
So
women...
then, what would be the mom's buttons then? Because we never explored what she would get annoyed by.
Just her family fighting, you know.
That's Mom's- right, because she did, toward the end, she was very adamant about them all sticking together.
Yeah,
and being
I
a team.
Feel like yeah. Moms are very much like, I've heard a few moms say like, now let's stop fighting, we're a family, you know? So I feel...
Right.
Yeah. Right. Good argument, Mom.
Yeah.
So we need a boat to get to Catalona. Who has a boat? Tom has a boat.
Tom. I forgot about Tom as a character,
Poor Tom.
He's great.
I think he came in a little later, too.
Yeah, he needed to round out that group of friends.
Yeah,
he's
so sweet.
You can't just have three friends. You have to have four.
Yeah, you have to have the one that's a little lower, and he's like a little lower on the status chain. So So they get the boot from Tom, and the two family teams are like going at it. They're confronting each other with all their problems, fighting on the beach. And we have another scene with Ren and Mutai. And Mutai wants to kiss Ren. And the people at home are supposed to vote if they think she's going to do it or not. And it's so high drama. The suspense. My God. But they don't. She wants to, but she can't. She's not ready yet.
Yeah,
she really fakes him out.
Yeah, she swooped in. That's a TikTok trend where you go in for a kiss and they go, nope. Just kidding.
Wow. She was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Just like beans and his bacon, Ren and her TikTok.
She swerved.
So Twitty and Tawny get to just outside the island. Whoa. They have to get on the dinghy.
Yeah. Well, this is where a joke came in that I was like, this was an adult joke. He was like, you guys have to get on my dinghy.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to him blowing up the raft, but you know, it was like, it's like, well, what can we do? You can get on my dinghy. Cut to raft,
right? Yeah, because they're like, what?
Yeah,
dinghy. So dinghy's like, wink wink, you know what that means.
Yeah, why? Uh-huh. No one says you can get on my dinghy.
Well, for someone who owns a boat, they can't. They can.
They can. That's why it's a joke. But like. You could also say, like, well, I have a dinghy, you know?
Well, that sounds sexual, too.
Yeah. Well, I have a dinghy.
I have a raft. I have a raft.
Oh, see, that's good. I
have
an inflatable raft.
Boat that you get on to get from the big boat to the island.
But that get on my dinghy thing was for the parents, you know? Parents would be like, what are you watching? Oh, okay.
I guess I'll watch the rest of this.
So they get on the dinghy, but then it's not a smooth trip in to land because Tawny gets knocked unconscious by a coconut and Twitty gets abducted
a huge ass wave hits the boat and capsizes them.
Yeah.
It was it was like a perfect storm level storm. It was the most insane thing I've
ever
seen.
Also, it's like nighttime all of a sudden.
Makes no sense.
Even though it was.
Especially when it's not that far from Sacramento.
Exactly. So she gets knocked unconscious and then Twitty gets taken by the security guards and he tells them that, like, he gives them a fake name, but Miles crates him quote unquote, but just mm-hmm. puts him in a trailer with like costumes and stuff. Right. And we got some more squirrel and nut business. This part again was stressful to me. Like Lewis is chasing after a squirrel because it has his one peanut.
Right.
Silly. Yeah. Very silly. Very silly. We don't like silly things here at all.
Serious.
So that's why I was offended by it. So Ren runs to Mutai and tells him she wants to go home, but then kisses him. And this, so Mutai is like, again, very Truman Show, trying to tell Ren that this is a setup. Like, it's not real.
Mm. Yeah, because he's supposed to break up with her after kissing her for drama.
Yes. But they abduct Mutai and then they blame it on Lewis. And she's like, what did Lewis do?
Yeah, this is funny because the guy's being fed things from Tim Meadows in his ears. And he's like, it was Lewis. And
he
was
like, oh, my God. Yeah, that guy needed improv classes is what he needed.
Yeah, yeah. And then she's like,
what did Lewis do?
He told us about you. She's like, really?
Lewis? How do you do that?
Yeah.
Haven't seen him since he was chasing that nut. So Twitty unplugs a bunch of the camera cables and the connections, and the show goes off air. And then the monster squirrel's on the loose, and Tawny runs into Donnie. And again, at first he thinks he's seeing things, but then he, and she has amnesia now because she was hit in the head with a coconut.
Yikes.
And so he says he's going to bring her back to his family, and he does. And then mom and dad start to figure out the ruse that's going on, which is a relief because, oh boy, there's a lot of confusion. And Tawny tells – she can't remember exactly the situation, but she remembers that Miles is the host of a show and he's on TV, and then they figure it out. And then they find Twitty, who told them that he did sell them out, and they're – mad, but then not for long. And this is where mom's like, no, I can, we're not gonna lose it. We're gonna show them that we are a family that sticks together. And Ren goes super bonkers and tells Lewis that he ruined her life. She like fashions a spear out of a stick and starts chasing him.
Yeah, she's making a noise the whole time.
I could tell though that she was having fun at this moment.
Yeah, she was having fun, but also I was like, that must be a nightmare to edit together.
True.
I can't even do that because I can't roll.
It was like, it was like a trill of some kind.
Yeah, it was definitely a trill.
I can't do it.
It was like, it was like kind of like a bird noise.
Yes, she's being a bird. You're a bird, I'm a bird.
You're a bird, I'm a bird. So Miles runs to the top of the mountain trying to stop Ren from killing Lewis because they're at the top of like a cliff's or at beside a cliff's edge. And Miles reveals that they're all on a TV show, but Ren shoves Lewis off a cliff. And what happens next? They all start smiling and laughing because it was all orchestrated by Gotcha! To fool Miles, and a helicopter comes up, and Dave Coulier's there. Lewis is on the ladder. How did this happen?
Yeah, how did he get pushed off a cliff, and then there's a helicopter down there, and he didn't die from the helicopter blades?
You. How did they contact him?
You're right. I didn't even think about that.
No, like a lot of how did this happen?
Yeah, seriously. And then if you jump off, and then you land on the rope, wouldn't that pull on the helicopter?
Or was it because they showed Tawny and Twitty had like a net?
Oh, they caught him?
Did they catch him and then he climbed on the ladder?
But then they didn't hear the helicopter come? Yeah, the helicopter must have been there the entire time.
So the helicopter was on the beach waiting and they caught Lewis in a net. Somehow they were in the right position. So they caught him safely and then they delivered him to the helicopter and the helicopter took off.
But also, with Dave Coulier. Too tall. If two people are holding a net at the bottom of a cliff.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah, they did it was like a trampoline fireman trick.
Let's just say magic. Let's say Disney magic.
That's the only explanation.
Okay.
So they're okay. So then they proceed to explain how they orchestrated this for like 10 minutes, although it still doesn't make any sense how it happened.
No, that didn't retain a single moment of that.
No, Ren and Lewis apologize to each other on a nice sunset vista. Lewis calls over Jason, and that's Mutai's real name, and he says he wasn't acting. He really cares for Ren.
Aww.
They fly home, and there's a musical number.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She sings a song at the end.
Christy Carlson-Serrano has to sing. She sang a lot in the show.
Yes. This just comes out of absolutely nowhere. What? I don't even remember what the song was.
You know what it was? It was just the closing credits because the show was over. She's like, I'm going to sing a song and then I'm going to have bloopers of the show.
Yes, yes, yes. That's right. It was like half music video, half bloopers.
Yeah.
And
that's it.
That's it. That's the end.
Even Steven's movie. Ooh. Wow. There was a lot to learn about this movie. But what would you say is the takeaway of this movie? What's the lesson learned here?
Stop fighting. We're a family.
Mm-hmm. A quote. Pull a direct
quote. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good one. Also, read the contract.
Oh, yeah.
Good one. That's a really good one. Yeah, yeah. Get a tattoo. the lesson learned here is, listen, if you're going to play a native, don't have a tattoo. You know, I said splurge a little money with a little like makeup concealer to hide your mom tattoo.
That should have been the tip off, though.
Do you think that was a actual tattoo that actor had, or that was a tattoo that they added onto the actor for viewers to catch as an Easter egg, as so they can figure out the plot before it happens?
That's a great question. I would say, like, that's a great question, Rachel. Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of sense. However, the tattoo was never mentioned or brought up, so I do think it was the actor's mom tattoo that he had.
Oh my god, it is. It is his.
Wow, it is. Okay.
Confirmed.
So someone actually has that.
But that's a great point, Rachel. Like, that is a real, like, that was a real, like, Sherlock Rachel Chapman on the case.
But I was wrong.
I can't believe that. Yeah, he has a tattoo and they didn't do anything to it.
I know.
Well, yes. So, okay, so let's cast ourselves in this movie. I know who I think I am, but I don't know if anybody...
Oh, okay. We'll remember. See.
Or no.
We'll remember.
You are Ren's friend who sings that song at the graduation.
Oh, I like that. That's good. Oh, no. I do like that. But, okay. Like that. Who were you thinking?
Or this is who I want to be. I want to be the craft bunny lady from TV.
Oh, that is you.
Oh, my God. That is you. Oh, my God. Of course it's
She's
you.
My
That's
favorite
you.
Part of this movie. We didn't even talk about it.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Yes. Rachel, you would play... let's see here.
Oh, I know. Well, it would make sense to say Beans, because I think you would have fun playing Beans.
It would make sense for me to play Beans?
Just because just because you historically have often been cast as, like, similar characters.
Oh, yeah, like the annoying neighbor that comes over and eats bacon.
But also, like, I think Beans is one of the funniest characters, so I
Beans
think that would be great.
Yeah, yeah. Beans did make this movie.
I do like bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beans. Oh, Beans.
But in real life, I would be that guy who hates Ren and is secretly waiting.
Oh, yeah. He's funny.
Everyone, let's laugh at her. Just kidding. That's not me. Oscar, you are...
This one's tough. There are 1,000 characters, but none of them...
There's 1,000 little characters who you know that's who I always will play.
You like... Little characters.
Would you be the guy in the control station who's
just that who's just other like, guy?
Like Miles is like fix this, and he's like, I'm trying.
Probably.
I feel like Well, that's just because I wanted to be this character. I feel like you would have fun with the character that's just at the craft table eating.
Yes, that's who I would be. That's who I would be.
Yeah.
Definitely. I also see myself as the squirrel.
The squirrel. Oh,
how did we not think of the squirrel?
Yeah. Also, I feel like you could say something that wasn't as bad for... You can get on my dinghy.
Oh, you can be Tom?
Oh, to play Tom?
Yeah.
I would play Tom. I love Tom. I probably would play Tom.
Yeah, you're Tom.
Yeah, I would play Tom for
I
sure.
Love that Tom put Tom on a energy. Captain the outfit.
So cute.
He comes prepared.
Tom's
he
so
comes
great.
Prepared.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about our Zaddies. Zaddy Watch, what did you think of Mr. Even Stevens himself, Mr. Steven Stevens?
Okay, because I watched the show... when I was a kid, he feels like a dad, and I can't. It feels weird to go into the zaddy zone, but he's not a bad dad, so he's not in the father.
He's not a bad dad.
He is. He has to be in the zaddy. So for that, I will give him a bronze zaddy.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I feel similarly. He's just a dad, but he's. Yeah, we'll do a bronze zaddy.
Yeah. It's interesting because the actor who plays him looks, and I kid you not, exactly like my ex-boyfriend, Steve. And his name is Steve, and the character's name is Steve. They look identical. He looks like an older version of my ex-boyfriend. And I Googled him, and I saw pictures of him when he was younger because he was on Star Trek,
yeah,
The Next Generation. And he, I mean, when I tell you he looked exactly like a brown-haired version of my blonde ex, it was it was weird. And it was weird watching him because I was like, this looks exactly like my ex. And this is a very bizarre moment because he looks like my ex just like 20 years in the future. That being said, I did think my ex was very cute, so he is definitely a zaddy, definitely in zaddy status mode. He was a nice father. You know what? This zaddy is getting gold zaddy status.
Wow.
Gold zaddy.
Gold zaddy status. He's also like Steve a bit Stevens. Silly, a little corny. I do like corny, silly man.
Yeah.
So he's definitely getting pretty high marks for me. Gold zaddy status.
I don't even think he got to shine in this movie. I think he's more fun on the show, too.
So oh, I liked him just as... I mean, I liked the airtime that he got in this movie. It was just enough where I didn't get annoyed with him.
Just the way you are.
Exactly. Now, let's rate it. Out of 5 pineapple...
Well, hats.
Hats. Yeah. How many pineapple hats do you give the Even Stevens movie?
I'll go first because I feel like I might actually give it higher than you guys. so I watched the show.
You mean me going woof? Like we're starting to rate it.
I watched the show, but it's been years because it wasn't necessarily my favorite. Like I wasn't it came on at the same time as like Lizzie McGuire, and that was more my jam. Also, I found Lewis to be annoying because I just find that like up to shenanigans boy thing not my thing. And then also Ren always seemed unlikable because she was too type A for me. Like just those two character types aren't my thing. Anyway, but it was like rewatching this movie made me want to go watch Even Stevens because it reminded me of the show. And I was like, it just, I don't know. It was nice. And then, yes, the plot was insane. And I kind of figured it out while watching it, even though I had already seen it, but I forgot about it. But then I was like, I was immediately like, oh yeah, this is a TV show. It was, you know, fun to watch. And then all the characters getting together again, it was nice. So for that, I'm going to give it a 3.5 pineapple hats.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good score.
Yeah.
I'll go. I had definitely seen it. I loved the show. I did not love rewatching this movie. It was just, it was chaotic. It didn't make sense. The plot doesn't come in until like halfway through the movie. And even then, it's like, ooh, does this, it feels weird and off. And I think they could have done better for Even Stevens. I didn't think they had to go to an island, or they could have explained it better. Anyway, I'll give it a 1.5.
Ouch! Ooh, ouch! 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 Ouch!
Yeah, they should.
It deserves a better movie. Ooh, hot take, hot take. Ooh, ouch, 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 hot take.
Sorry. Cool off. Don't hurt yourself.
For me, yeah, for someone who's like unfamiliar with the Even Steven universe, that's another show. I was left sort of confused, and I was just like, I don't really understand the purpose of having a movie that has nothing to do with like the location of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just felt like the Brady Bunch movie to me, like a regurgitation of the Brady Bunch movie where they go to Hawaii and they're like cursed with a tiki statue. Yeah. Like I would say, and even that is a movie that has jumped the shark in terms of like quality.
That's based on the Brady Bunch episode, right?
What happened?
It's based on a Brady Bunch episode. Sorry.
Yeah. It's the characters, like Rachel was saying, were a little like polar opposites in a way that I was like, I'm not really rooting for either one of these people to do well.
Yeah.
I found myself being like, I sort of like the dumb brother, actually. Like, where's his story? I want to see what's going on with him. And I did like the mom. I thought the mom was cool. But I felt the movie to be vaguely problematic it felt like a little like racially just like icky to me.
Yeah, we didn't really touch on that, but that also made me feel a little icky.
Yeah, it was just one of those things that was, I guess, cool, like fine in the early 2000s, but like not okay now.
That, and also they kind of tried to explain it away, but that did not solve it, you know, because they were like, it's not a real place. It's like, yeah, but you're oof, but you chose all these.
It didn't help. And it didn't help that like the local that we connected the most with was a white dude. Like it was like, okay.
Yeah, that's so weird.
I don't know. I don't like this at all. Tim Meadows is incredible, but really bad in this movie.
Yeah.
which is crazy to me. It was like, how did I end up watching this movie and not like Tim Meadows' performance? It was so weird. I think he was just like nervous the whole time. I don't know. I felt like the actor was just really nervous. I'm going to give this two pineapple heads hats because it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be because it was a movie.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
You thought it wasn't going to be a movie.
But it just was a little problematic, yeah. I think. A little irresponsible to me.
Yeah. I will say that I think the go-to for a lot of these like TV show, the movie things is like to take them out of their usual settings. So like, Wizards of Waverly Place does that. So it's upsetting because it's called Wizards of Waverly Place. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So without it, it's just the wizards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wizards of some island.
So they go to is it just like the story of this one where they go to an island?
No. Okay. But it's very similar, but no.
Well, I guess only time will tell.
Only time will tell. And we did it. We watched the Even Stevens movie. We watched that weird music video at the end, which I think might have been my favorite part of the whole movie.
Yeah. It reminded me of the We Went to the Moon in 1969. Oh, yeah.
The musical episode of Even Stevens is really good. From what I remember, but I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. Also, another thing that I'll say is that the actress really wanted to do some dramatic acting in this movie, and I don't think she was quite successful at it. It was a lot of like, oh my god,
Mutai.
I just have feelings for you, Mutai. It was like very like, okay.
The best.
This is some weird CW wannabe stuff.
The best was how close she got to kissing him before swerving because like I would just be laughing the whole time.
Yeah. She was, the actress was really trying to take this movie very seriously. But it's not a movie to take serious. But that's just my take. Anyway. I'm getting really hot and sunburned here, so I'm ready to move on to another area of the vault. What do y'all say we get on this dinghy?
Get on my dinghy.
Get on Claire's dinghy as we sail away to another section of the vault.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right, I've been Oscar.
I'm Claire.
I'm Rachel.
Bye.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that episode of Inside the Disney Vault. I sure did enjoy the episode, but I did not enjoy the movie. But I'm excited to find out what is in store for us next.
Next, we are watching Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off.
Woo!
Okay, that's a long-ass title.
I do remember two things about this: cooking and baseball, but that's it.
Oh, no! Is it a sports decom?
Oh, is it like he's got to choose between baseball and cooking?
Please choose cooking. Please choose cooking.
I don't really... I remember ads for it. I don't feel like I've seen it, but I'll find out soon.
Yeah. Oh,
gosh. Okay, so how would we watch this movie if we were brave enough to see it? I'm just assuming it's going to be that because it's a sports decom. Yeah. I hope I'm wrong. But how do we get to watch it?
You can find it on Disney Plus. Yeah.
Ah. And if you want to get in contact with us to let us know how bad, I'm just assuming that it's a bad movie.
Well, if you want to reach out and tell us how much you loved Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off or how much you hated it, you can contact us on Twitter at ITDV Podcast or check us out on Instagram at Inside the Disney Vault.
Yeah. And if you just felt middle ground about it, you can just reach out to me personally.
Yeah, if you felt in the middle, just reach out to Rachel.
Actually, I love that. If you felt middle ground, reach out to Rachel. If you hated it, talk to me. Yeah. We'll talk. And if you loved it, talk to Claire.
Yeah, so that sounds right.
I love that.
Very Three Little Bears.
Yeah.
The Goldilocks and Three Bears. Yes. That's what it's called.
Three Little Bears. I made my porridge out of straw.
Yummy.
Believe it or not, we also have video of us recording these podcasts. And if you want to get access to that, you can check us out on our Patreon. We're all doing crazy moves right now. You can only see if you're watching the video. And we're at patreon.com/InsideTheDisneyVault. We also do live viewing sometimes that you can join in, of course, digitally and socially distanced, safe and all that. So check us out on Patreon for extra goodies and things. And
yeah, you can always reach out to us.
Yeah.
As a collective or as individuals.
KIT, keep in touch.
Yes.
Yes.
And we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Mia.
Hey, it's Allie.
And we host the Rom-Com Review podcast, P.S. I Love Rom-Coms.
Each week, we'll have incredible guests come and discuss a new rom-com, grand gestures, meet-cutes, and of course, that elusive chemistry. Mia, what are you doing holding that giant boombox over your head? I'm hoping to win over listeners with this grand gesture. Take us back! Find a new episode every week and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Campfire Media. Wow, you're still holding that boombox.
Yeah, I've got great upper body strength. Thanks, CrossFit.
Yeah.